This is WordPress Weekly, the show dedicated to all things WordPress. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Sarah Gooding.
Welcome to episode 121 of WordPress Weekly for Friday, September 13th, 2013. And we were just talking about sound effects off the air prior to starting the show, and just by reading that Friday the 13th, I wish we had like some kind of spooky sound. So that is perfect. I'm so glad that I have a co-host. She's awesome. Speaking of co-host, Sarah, my co-host Sarah Gooding, how you doing this week?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, and that you nailed the timing on that perfectly.
It's my new job. I'm proud of it.
So another week's gone by. This is your second week now at the tavern. Have you found yourself in a groove?
Yeah, I've been really enjoying working with you and talking to a bunch of people on Twitter, and overall just having a great time.
And last week we had it was a very interesting effect. I called it coyotes or howling, or I called it the teapot, and I thought you'd get a kick out of the title of the show last week. Swift interview with Swift Type, not the teapot. And if did you have a chance to listen to that show?
Yes, I did, and it was the teapot was very, very loud. So I've made a lot of adjustments, and now I have a decent microphone going.
Yeah, you sound great tonight, and there's no background noise, only the ones that you're applying to the show through the soundboard.
Excellent.
We've discovered the we use Google Hangout here to do the show, and there's a toolbox, Google Effects, and inside there's sounds there. So, you know, it's like kids with their toys. They got to play with them when they discover them. So we'll see how that goes. Special shout out to everyone who's joined us in the chat room. I see a couple of familiar faces in there. Leland of Theme Lab, Norcross, he's in there. Hello to all you guys. And Jake, I think, which is our guest boss tonight, his new boss, he's in there, Jake Goldman. Thank you guys for spending some of your Friday evening with us. With all that said, let's roll into the headlines for this week. The first is that WordPress 3.6.1 is now available. Nothing fancy about this particular release. It's a maintenance/security release. It fixes three security bugs, along with a couple of other bugs, miscellaneous fixes. And this release comes 42 days after 3.6 was made available on August 1st. Based on what I've seen, the rollout of WordPress 3.6 was very smooth in terms of the amount of things that break after a particular release, which is a great sign, especially when we were talking about the future prospects of automatic core updates happening in the future. Of course, first there are going to be minor releases, so we wouldn't even need to tell you about this release because it would probably happen automatically at some point in the future. But somewhere down the line, there will be a way to upgrade automatically from, let's say, 3.6 to 3.7. As long as they can maintain that great stability within versions, it should help a lot of people calm their fears in terms of having automatic upgrades turned on. So if you haven't checked yet, which I don't know why you wouldn't, you should check and see if you have upgrade notice for 3.6.1 because it is now available. Second headline this week is something that Sarah Gooding put together. She did an interview with what I like to call the child prodigy, WordPress child prodigy, Ryan McHugh, on creating the JSON REST API for WordPress. Now, when I see terms like JSON REST API, you know, I reach for the bottle of Tylenol. But Sarah, you did an excellent job of piecing this story together in a way that I could understand. And I've seen people around the WordPress community be really excited when they hear about this new JSON REST API, and kind of give us a highlight of what that is and why so many people are excited for it.
I'm not really the person to ask about what it is. he schooled me in the basics for this, so I may be getting some of it wrong. But It seems like a way that other outside applications will be able to easily interact with WordPress. So it's a new API, and I guess we need a bunch of new APIs in order to do these things better with WordPress. And he's building it as part of his Google Summer Code project, which I thought was really awesome. It's an absolutely colossal task, I can only imagine. But he is really enjoying himself, and hopefully this will be put into core somewhere down the line, maybe not 3.8. He said that because of time constraints, it might not hit then, but sometime in the future, developers will have access to this new API in WordPress.
Yeah, I'd like to read part of a quote from your article from Ryan about this specific feature in WordPress, and he says, "This project will affect everyone who works with WordPress. Mobile and desktop applications can move past restrictions on WordPress's existing APIs and start working with WordPress in much deeper ways, while themes and plugins can become much more interactive. The availability of this as a core feature also means less time spent by developers creating something similar and more time spent creating actual features." And he goes on in the space of the article to mention how interaction with WordPress right now, there's a lot of XML RPC, and a lot of that code that handles that is meant for parsing and reading that XML data. Something like what Ryan is working on would actually eliminate the need, all that extra overhead code, and it would make things leaner and much more easier to use and to build around. And I thought that was really cool. The next online we want to get to is another article by Sarah. She's been on a roll this week. Last week we had mentioned the launch of Pressgram, and during that day there were a couple of articles published mentioning the terms of service issues that some people were having, and also whether Pressgram should have been launched with an open source license, along with a couple of other concerns. So, Sarah, you actually spent some time and some research coming up with open source alternatives to Pressgram, and what did you find?
Well, I was just looking for apps that are that advertise themselves as open source, and I wanted people to know that, you know, that they could do this if they wanted to very easily using posts by email, which is already built into WordPress, and there are tons of plugins that do that a lot better than the core does it, so you can add a bunch more options as far as sending your posts. But I think that's a really easy way to achieve this if you're on the Android platform where Pressgram isn't available, or if you're uncomfortable with the terms of service that Pressgram has, or, you know, how they have everything set up. If you don't want to be in the social network like Instagram, then this is one other option for you to use that is totally open source, and there's no middleman holding onto your data in the middle, and you know, maybe selling it at a future point or doing something with it that you don't want.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we found out last week during the when George Stefanis, one of the core developers of WordPress, went in depth and looked at how Pressgram was communicating with the server, or what was going on with the interaction. We found out that there was a middleman, and that was the social networking aspect. And a lot of people said they just wanted a app that would take a photo or find a photo in their media library, apply filters to it, and upload it right to WordPress with no middleman involvement. And using the different methods you described in your post allows that.
Correct.
And I'm still not... Here's what I think.
I think we've got an old man rant coming up.
So I wish we had a sound effect like "get off my lawn," but we'll have to get that for the future. But here's my take on it: use the WordPress mobile app, snap a picture, upload it to your site. No filters involved. You just removed a step. Everything's much simpler. Everything's open source. Bada bing, bada boom. That's it. So that's my old man rant about filters condensed down into a nutshell. But hey, if you want to do filters, you know, Sarah's provided the means necessary to go your open source way. Now, the one thing I wanted to ask you, this was brought up, something about Jetpack and the use of Jetpack and how that plugin also has a similar social network type terms of service to PressGram. Did you respond to that criticism of using Jetpack and how it was similar to PressGram?
Yeah, I suggested Postee or Jetpack. I mean, if you feel comfortable using Jetpack, that's fine. That's one option for you. I don't think that they store when in their post by email feature. I don't think that they store your pictures on their server. I think it just passes through. I could be wrong on that, but I don't think there's a lot to worry about that. If you're really hardcore, you know, concerned about terms of service, then maybe go with Postee, which is just a plugin on WordPress.org that you can use that has more than enough features for setting that up.
So Jake Goldman here says, you underestimate the desire for filters. And no, I don't underestimate the value for them, because if there were no desire for filters, we wouldn't have PressGram, or we wouldn't have Instagram. My rant from last week basically says that the majority of people I see taking photos and applying filters to them are ruining their photos. I want to see what they're seeing. So if they're on a beach somewhere and they take a picture of a beautiful sunset, that's what I want to see. I want to see that beautiful sunset the way they're seeing it. But most of the time, I see somebody putting a blue filter or making it look black and white, just something that makes the sunset look like crap. And my opinion is that these filters, all they have done is provide an easy way for people to ruin their photos. It's like a Photoshop for the masses. Here's a couple of filters. Now screw up your images. And that's what everybody's doing. So I'm all for the no filters hashtag and trend on Twitter and everywhere else. No filters. That's what I want to see. No filters. So, but then again, Sarah, you said you love filters and they provide an easy way to enhance photos. I've seen a couple that look really cool that are enhanced, but for the most part, I don't see that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you could really get crazy with it and start thinking about the science of the human eye and how it takes in light and images. And really, your brain makes up probably, I don't know, 80% of that information from just the little bit that comes into your eye. So sometimes I think the filters enhance the image that you took that can never, you know, without the filter, it kind of looks boring. It doesn't look as vibrant, but with the filter, you can have something that looks close to what you see inside your brain when you're actually looking at the landscape or sunset, as you said.
Yeah, we better move on from filters, because if we mention that word one more time, Pippin Williamson is going to file a DMCA takedown on me for talking about his show. But with all kidding aside, he does a great job. He's got an Apply Filters podcast for any of the dev-centric minds out there that want to have that type of content to listen to. So consider that a free shout-out to Pippin. Great guy. So the last headline we want to mention this week is WordPress 3.7 is going to remove the post by email feature in favor of an official plugin. Sarah, you did a interview with Kat Hagen, who has been working through an internship program sort of similar to the Google Summer of Code, and she's been the one behind this new feature in WordPress, or removing it, let's say.
Yeah, she's another one of those interns, and she's, you know, taking this out of the core and making a plugin that will provide a seamless way for people to move over to the plugin once it's been removed from the core. So they won't have, you know, the experience of having to add some foreign plugin and figure out what their settings are going to be. It'll just be like a click of a button for someone who's been using that feature within core right now.
And I found this to be interesting because Jetpack already has a post by email feature built into it. So I was thinking, well, my original thought was, okay, they're going to remove post by email in WordPress and just supplement that with what's in Jetpack. But then I remember I received a response from Jen Milo, who said that by substituting a feature with something that comes within a proprietary plugin, I think, is along the lines, I don't have the tweet in front of me, that would not be kosher. That's not the right way to go about it. And I agree, and I showed you that tweet. I think you agree. So it's just, and I think it's great that we're starting to see some niche features taking out of core and being replaced with plugins. And I think, based on the feedback I've seen, everybody is happy to see this happen with WordPress.
Yeah, it's like putting WordPress on a diet. Just make it
put
leaner.
WordPress on a diet. That's file that one away. So, yeah, if keep tabs on that. That'll be coming around with WordPress 3.7. And you also mentioned that it looks like she's going to continue contributing to WordPress after this initial internship is over with.
Yeah, she's really enjoyed her experience, and she definitely wants to support the plugin after this is over. I think she just has one more week or something like that, and then she's done with the internship, but she'll continue to work on the plugin in the future.
So excellent work by Kat, and hope you stick around. We could always use more contributors with WordPress. So with all that said, let's dive into our interview subject tonight, or the person we will dissect, at least their brains. I have to mention something about brains on Friday the 13th. Anyways, John James Jacoby, otherwise known as J-Trip or Triple J, I like to call him Triple J, he was previously the master of alliteration at Automattic, but is now the director of web engineering for WordPress development agency 10Up. He is rumored to have a ton of charm, and I can confirm that rumor, by the way, and he is a lead contributor to both BB Press and Buddy Press. He is also an avid fan of video games. Now, who can't like a guy like that? Triple J, thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Hi.
Wow. In front of a live studio audience.
Right. I'm imagining myself like walking out from like behind the curtain at the Tonight Show. But like right. The Johnny Carson Tonight Show, not the Jay Leno Tonight Show.
Right. So I get up from my desk, I shake your hand, you sit on this nice comfy pink 80s chair, and I sit there with my coffee mug from the, has a Tavern logo on it, and we just start talking about the BBs.
Right. And in very typical Johnny Carson affair, you will be much more entertaining and charming than I would be. Because I love Johnny Carson. So in my imagination right now, you are playing the role of Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
And technically, Sarah, I guess that makes you Ed McMahon.
Excellent. Dream come true.
So, Triple J, first off, just what have you been up to recently for those who have been trying to keep tabs on you?
I'm a little freaked out that people are trying to keep tabs on me.
Well, they're following you.
I guess, I don't know, a couple of different things. I've been working on, I just released BB Press 2.4, so that's
okay.
Out. Sort of actively working on scoping out 2.5. We also just released BuddyPress 1.8, which Boone mostly led the release of and did an excellent job. It was really awesome. It was our shortest release ever. It's about 3 months, start to finish, so it worked out really well. Starting to scope and build some kind of awesome stuff for BuddyPress 1.9. Obviously, I left Automattic and started.
Hey, hold on! You're doing my whole show. We're gonna get to that.
But otherwise, I don't know. Mostly just working on some pretty awesome BuddyPress stuff.
So you work for 10Up now, and previous to that, you worked for Automattic. So before all of that. Before we knew you as J-Trip or Triple J or whoever you were, what were you doing for a living?
That's a good question. Immediately before that, I was like freelance and contract WordPress developer focusing on BuddyPress and BBPress. And for a brief period of time, played Texas Hold'em sort of part-time to supplement my gaps in WordPress. Contracting, and managed to have that lifestyle for probably a solid year, and probably two, counting the whole transition into doing full-time BuddyPress stuff. And then before that, I'm the only person I know that's probably had more different career changes and jobs than me is Jen Milo, and I know she's done a bunch of different things, but mm-hmm. I've done everything from working at the roller rink to like DJing at some like local bars in Milwaukee when I lived here, to like selling cell phones to selling shoes to working at a Honda dealership to, man, I've got all sorts of different...
I never would have thought I'd be getting this kind of answer from you.
I know, right?
I just thought you would have said, well, you know, I just did consulting, and I just kind of ended up in this role. But, man, you were doing everything and everything to make a buck.
Yeah, I worked in a call center.
I'm sure that was fun.
Yeah, that's not fun. But I think jobs like that are important to try, though. Like, it's important to have that experience because it really helps you understand and have a little bit more empathy for, calling in when you have a problem to any place, right? I learned a lot from a lot of these, like, different careers that I've had. And also learned that as much as I enjoy being a customer, I was doing customer service type stuff for a while, that I very much am a problem solver and I'm not very good at like schmoozing and making people like empathizing and trying to like make them feel better about problems. I mostly just want to like fix the problem and know that like, hey, we've solved the problem today. Customer service is not always necessarily like my particular specialty.
Mm-hmm.
So I right out of high school did some software development, worked on some Visual Basic stuff for like a local like tool and die company building their whole inventory and billing, and it was actually sort of a neat job, but I was like way too young and like totally didn't have enough experience and like underqualified, but it actually was a fun job to do.
So you've worked at Automatic for a long time, and it was I remember reading your post about how you were employed by Automatic. You were stoked, you were happy, everybody was ecstatic to hear about it. Now, but you've recently switched from being employed by Automatic to now being employed by 10UP, which was big news. I don't think many of us in the community saw that coming, although I heard some people did, but they must have got a hint somehow. I was not one of those people. Now, Automatic is known to have a low attrition rate, so the question is, why did you switch companies? Why did you switch jobs?
So that's a good question. There's a few different reasons. And I think that like Automatic has a low attrition rate because like a really good company. Like it's a really awesome group of people to work with, and like constantly building like really fun, amazing things, and their involvement in the WordPress community is like clearly sort of second to none. So like I think for like most people that, and myself included, that Automatic is always sort of like it feels very much like the upper echelon of like WordPress employment, right? Like if you're going to be in the WordPress community and you're hoping to be employed by someone full time, I think that like the first thing that everyone is exposed to, the first company that people are exposed to ends up being Automatic. And that was definitely like my story. And when I had met Mark Jakewith and Jen Milo, and I was still independent and sort of trying to figure out like what I thought my future looked like, I talked with Jen a lot about sort of my vision for WordPress.org and what profiles would look like and how BuddyPress fits into those things, and to the extent where really like my joining Automatic was almost sort of like purpose built to try and solve a lot of those problems. I mean, when I started out Automatic, it was because a job description was kind of almost sort of wrapped around what it was that I was hoping to do, and it was a job that didn't exist really at Automatic. And I joined a team that wasn't really, it was the .org team at Automatic that at that point was really just Jen and Ryan Boren. And later, Daryl Coopersmith joined in, Chelsea Otakin joined in, Andrew Oz came back. But still, for the most part, I was really alone on working a lot on a lot of different things, working on WordCamp.org, on some support stuff, and then trying to lead BuddyPress and BBPress and working on profiles, and just was working on a lot of different things. And and ended up just sort of wanting to work on some other things within the company, switched over to the social team, worked on some Jetpack stuff and some WordPress.com social features, and eventually moved over to VIP because I really enjoyed the code review process and it refactoring things and improving things. And but ultimately, what I ended up doing was like being on VIP was mostly a support role, was mostly just supporting our VIP clients. And I guess like I like accidentally clued into earlier is like I'm just not good at providing support. And I'd been at Automattic for 3 years and started with one specific set of goals, and throughout the course of working at Automattic for 3 years completely derailed myself from what it was that that I really thought was the most important to myself. And had been working on like cool stuff, no doubt, at Automattic, but for the things that like I think are really important, are not things that Automattic as a company necessarily thought were super important.
Mm-hmm.
Not important enough to like employ someone full time to work on. And like that's okay, right? So so talk with Matt and sort of just like made sure that we sort of both understood that like this is what I thought was a priority, and whether or not it was or not for Automattic. And when we talked, it just like wasn't the like the direction that that either one of us really wanted to go in. So it's pretty clear that it's time to look for something else. And I think I'd probably known that for a while, but was trying to make it work. And
so your job title now at 10UP is Director of Web Engineering. Now, what exactly does that mean? Because that sounds fancy.
It does sound fancy, right? It's like an official job title. so I'm on the leadership team at 10UP, and in the leadership team, we're pretty much sort of responsible for like developing sort of a vision a little bit for sort of process implementation for how we approach project management, strategy, engineering, systems, design. And so I work pretty much directly, like more closely with Vaskin, who's our director of strategic engineering, sort of building out our internal processes, sort of how we work with clients to try and provide like a very consistent sort of like world-class tools for just building awesome WordPress-powered sites. And so I work with my sort of day is a little fuzzy sometimes. I'm working on some we have some pretty sweet BuddyPress like projects that I'm working on directly, and then handling some internal code review because I'm familiar with the VIP side of things, helping out any projects or developers that have questions about sort of VIP implementation, and generally just trying to make sure that everybody is feeling good about what they're doing on the engineering side.
So considering your new position at 10UP, how much time does that leave you to work on BBPress and BuddyPress, considering you're sort of considered the lead dev on each one of those projects?
So it's actually pretty balanced in my opinion. I think that may change sometimes from week to week or from day to day. But that was part of something that made me a little sad at Automattic was since there wasn't a whole lot that I was working on that was directly BuddyPress or BBPress related. I was trying to work on some BBPress stuff on VIP, but there's just so much support and other things going on that BBPress was never a priority. So I really hoped that working at Automattic was going to be the thing that would enable me to be able to work on those projects on like potentially like a full-time kind of scale, but at 10UP, since I'm working on like client sites that are BuddyPress and BBPress powered, I'm working with them all day long, pretty much every day. So core contributions tend to go in a little bit more rapidly now, The one thing I've been working on from 1.9 is getting like rewrite rules implemented in BuddyPress sort of the correct way. We've had our own like sort of URL handler that's been built into BuddyPress for a long time that sort of the wrong approach, sort of the wrong way to do it, given the way that WordPress works now. And it's a lot of in-depth technical refactoring type of things. But there's some notification stuff going in. There's a lot of code improvement that's going in for 1.9. And so it's actually pretty exciting to be able to work directly with them again.
So is it a work situation now where if you come across clients that need a specific piece of functionality from either BBPress or BuddyPress and they don't have it, and you create it, you go through that process of creating it, they're paying you to create that functionality, and you think that it would be good for the greater, you think it would be good for the project and everybody else to have access to that, do you automatically just build that into BBPress or BuddyPress, or
no.
is there an agreement there that has to be done?
I think most of that comes down to communication. There might be some little bugs that I'll run across that aren't full-fledged features, right? Like, fixing bugs is one thing, but when it comes down to, like, full-on feature development, it's pretty rare that there's overlap, at least in my experience so far. Usually, BuddyPress ends up being, like, a really good foundation for the social elements, and then the client needs some other completely brand new component or thing. On that said, like a good example is there's a client that we're working with now that wants to do a few different things with some notifications, and that's something that I've already talked about. There might even be a ticket. We've talked about scoping that, like notifications improvements for the past few releases, but this is like one of those circumstances where there's an opportunity to improve that component in BuddyPress, sort of based on or motivated by what we're doing for the client. So I think the line gets blurry, but if it was a full-fledged feature, then no. I don't think there would have to be some communication and discussion that happens with a client there for sure.
Okay.
But it would never be like an automatic into core kind of thing.
So we're going to get
plus, a little I guess, bit... Plus, I guess, like, not to interrupt too much, but the other part of it is, you know, we've been pretty good about keeping BuddyPress consistent and making sure that features that go in are done by committee, right? Like, Boom, mm-hmm. Paul, Ray, myself, Mercy Me, Hugo, some other contributors that are active in the support forums and everything. It's pretty rare now that something goes in to BuddyPress core without there being like several sets of eyes on it at this point.
So Matt Mullowig, in the span of a weekend, so he says that's the way the story goes, creates BBPress just because he was bored. And at some point after that, Sam Bowers becomes the project lead for BBPress, and he also became a automatic employee. This was around the 2008 time frame. Sam eventually left Automatic, and after a period of time, Matt announced that he was stepping back into BBPress development, which was met with a ton of negative backlash for the lack of support and direction for the project over that previous time span of a few months to years. Now, at some point after that, you became the lead developer for BBPress. So I'd like to know if you could share with us your experience in stepping into that role at a time where everyone thought the BBPress project had been abandoned.
I think at the time it felt a little bit like walking into a buzzsaw.
Right.
Because the users were a little bit upset about it feeling a little abandoned and unloved. And there were some pretty prolific BBPress contributors. CK, like I know who that is, but she was around for years building. I mean, she had dozens of plugins that she had written for BBPress that and core contributions and patches and everything. And there were some pretty passionate users that really felt that the direction of turning BBPress into a full-fledged plugin for WordPress was a bad idea. And so at the time, there was a lot of support and a lot of discussion and a lot of calming of some nerves to try to convert and convince some people that it was the right decision, or at least it was the right decision for the long term, like for the longevity of the project. But also, I really like forums. Forums to me are really fun. So, and since we had included them into BuddyPress and we were trying to decouple them and really converting it over to use a lot of WordPress's core APIs versus Backpress that it was relying on previously, it was the right choice. Jake Goldman just published a blog post sort of talking about the way that BBPress used Backpress and sort of some of my opinions on that. But at first it was fun because I felt like there was really something to prove with redoing it, and it was a little motivating there. But ultimately, I really just wanted for there to be like really awesome forums that were directly integrated with WordPress, and BBPress was always supposed to be that, but it just never was. So I was more excited to have a clean slate with BBPress to be able to start over with and be able to turn into that canonical forum, you know, solution inside of WordPress. Given some time and everything, it turned out pretty good.
There was a lot of pushback from the community when the announcement was made that BBPress would be rolled into a plugin instead of being a standalone piece of software. And looking back at it now, retrospectively, do you feel as though the right decision was made?
Yeah, but I still wish it didn't have to be that way. I love the idea of Backpress a lot, and if Backpress was more mature, or if WordPress hadn't have gotten so popular so quickly, I think that like we'd be living in a world where like Backpress was this invisible set of APIs, and WordPress was really just like a blogging plugin, right? Like it just WordPress came with. Like WordPress was just the blog portion, because there was a time where like WordPress and BBPress were downloaded pretty much equally from day to day, and it just so happens that WordPress was the one that won, right? Like blogs were the thing that took off, and I think that if Backpress was the thing that was our application layer, that there wouldn't be as much apprehension. People that are not in the WordPress community about using it as an application framework rather than using WordPress. I mean, they're essentially the same set of core code, but I think it just WordPress comes preloaded with some connotations, and that we're having to try and convince people that WordPress is an application framework when it is as much as I think Backpress or anything else would be. So
with BBPress becoming a plugin, I initially thought that this would expose BBPress and forums to a large audience, which would increase exposure. And I think that was one of the core reasons why Matt said, okay, let's get rid of the standalone concept. We need to have this as a plugin to kind of tie it into this huge audience WordPress already has. Increase exposure, third-party support, encourage more contributors. In your opinion, has this happened? Has this become a reality?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, it was probably WordCamp San Francisco last year. I actually had some data, but the download count is far surpassed what BBPress's, what the standalone version was. In 2010 alone, BBPress as a plugin after its like first and second releases was downloaded close to as many times as BBPress was downloaded in its entirety previously. Turning it into a plugin and making it easily accessible and integrating it directly inside of WordPress did open it up to an enormously, like a much larger audience
than having it be a standalone piece of software ever was able to accomplish. Okay. And part of it was, like you mentioned too, is with when Sam was working on BBPress in the 1.x days, it's a lot of work to be responsible for leading the project, for leading and designing and running and moderating the actual website itself, writing the documentation, supporting it, idling an IRC.
Well, at the time when he left, there was a lot of discussion that we didn't get to figure that out because it was insider baseball information, but everything you just mentioned pretty much were all the reasons combined to where it seemed as though Sam just couldn't take it anymore. He had to get out because he just wasn't getting the resources or the time necessary to fulfill all the requests that people wanted with that project.
Yeah, it's easy to get burnt out. And sometimes, I mean, I guess there wasn't a whole lot of overlap between Sam and I. There maybe was a year or so where I was like actively contributing to BBPress when he was around, but still wasn't super involved. But Sam and I think like actually have a lot in common. Probably our positive and negative traits. Where like one of the things that I've really had to work on and had to teach myself is like when it's time to stop developing and release the thing. And BBPress like went a few months too long a few times on releases when stuff should have gone out, where I think that like releasing new versions is important in our community right now. It might not always be, but showing that there's active development and that you're releasing fixes and new versions like on schedule and on time speaks a lot. And when you miss those, or if there's not communication about what's going on, then it's easy for people to feel like the project is dying or that there's nobody working on it or that nobody cares. And I mean, BuddyPress for a while went a super long time without there being a release because we were doing a bunch of refactoring. Everyone sort of had a bunch of client work and was super busy, and it lagged for too long. And I think that was like, we actually bumped the version from 1.2 to 1.5 because we had so many fixes and changes that we could have released several versions in that time period. So I can see it's easy to get burnt out, but similar along the same lines of why Andy Peetling stepped away from BuddyPress also was able to see himself being able to make a bigger impact on WordPress.com and millions of users there, and there wasn't a large audience of contributors to BuddyPress back in the old days, and he was doing support and working on the site and building the software all by himself. And I think that that's just too many things, too much responsibility, and it's easy to have to have people's responses to the things that you're not doing to burn you out and break you down pretty quick.
Yeah, speaking of BuddyPress, which is the second B in the BBs, I'm going to hand it over to Sarah. I know she's been looking forward to this interview all week, and she's got all the BuddyPress stuff covered. I don't know anything about it. I think she's actually used it before. So, Sarah, go ahead. You grill Triple J here, and I'm going to play around with the sound effects.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm a pretty big BuddyPress fan myself, and I was very excited about the Codex survey that recently went out and the results that were posted. And John, I wanted to ask you, were you surprised by any of the results from the survey?
No, not really. I mean, I was more surprised at the number of people that want to actually help with the Codex, mm-hmm. Because the Codex is traditionally like a place where the contributions are relatively low. So knowing that there are people that genuinely do want to improve what's going into there is pretty encouraging. But no, there wasn't a whole lot that was that surprising. And the results, I think the results were pretty true. I think they're pretty accurate. I think that what I read from people's responses seems pretty true to life to me. I think that all their responses were pretty spot on.
Okay. What about the components usage numbers? What did you think? Do you think that indicates anything about BuddyPress as a whole? It looked like none of the social components were automatically activated for anybody more than 20% of the time I think that's what the results said. Like, you know,
the only one that I was happy to see is that people traditionally turn the settings component on. We left that off because I wanted to keep some of the multiple communication methods off, like groups and friends and private messages and activity streams. There's just a lot happening there. So we left activity streams on and profile on because those are like the two things I think that like most people will want to use. And then knowing that they're actually interested in the settings portion of it with the notifications panel there and email changes and password updates and stuff, I think like seeing that a majority of users turn that on means that there's room for us to turn it on by default also, which I think is really what that question was helping us evaluate was how, like, if we choose to change what the active components are in BuddyPress, which ones are the ones that are that people are using the most. So it's good to see that it was settings because that was the one that was sort of on my mind as the next most important one.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Because I was wondering if it affects how you prioritize new feature development. I mean, if you see that like not a majority of BuddyPress sites are using the friends component, you know, are you going to spend a lot of time fixing bugs with the friends component, even though it's a feature that not everyone uses, maybe not even 50% of the sites?
Right. Yeah. Yes and no. I mean, it's important to see that, to look at that data, but the components in BuddyPress have been pretty stable now for a few years. So the fixes that go in and will go in anyways. And then prioritizing enhancements usually comes down to the leadership team talking about what it is that we think is the most important, and during our dev chats and looking through some of the open tickets, maybe talking about some stuff that we've noticed over the course of like working with it in the past release or in a release cycle or two, and then sitting down and looking at anything that's in the forums or the support forums from what people are asking for, and then us just coming to a decision and going in that direction. It's not as much based off of it's not really as user driven as I think it used to be. I don't know if it's bad or good, but I think it's good that the core feature set has been as stable as it's been for a while, that we haven't really needed to make those intense decisions like we've done in the past.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering, in looking at those results, if maybe it indicates that a lot of people are just using BuddyPress for the more robust profile features and account management capabilities, rather than like the interactive aspects with groups and forums and friends. Do you think that's a trend that's on the rise?
I mean, if it is, it's probably my fault because I really wanted to see how not having all of those components turned on at the same time would, what the experience would be like for our users. So that's the experience that they get right out of the box. And so part of me wonders if people are gun-shy to turn things on, or if they've turned them on and not had a previously active community already to start using those features one at a time. I mean, I've said it before, but like, running a BuddyPress powered site, it's fun, but it really is a lot of work, and you really do have to give up control of your content and yield to your users and the direction that they want to take your site at that point. And I think sometimes, unless you have a long term strategy for what you want your site to be, that planning that out, it's intimidating and. It's not necessarily for everybody. So people hear it and they know that it's really cool, and then they try it out, and then my guess is that they are a user and they want a profile, so that's a pretty easy win. And then the rest of the social features, my guess is there's just not, the value isn't high for a lot of people to use some of those, but in the right setting, in the right, with the right site or with the right community, Buddy Press is super awesome. So I think it's just using the right tool for the job and making sure that it's something that your users actually want. So it's actually pretty smart that they're not using all of those components, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know I've built several BuddyPress sites where my client had no idea what it would take to manage a community that has all that activity going on.
Mm-hmm.
They just thought, oh, this sounds cool. Let's put friends and messages and forums and everything on here.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they have a new full-time job for themselves and they didn't really want that, you know,
yep.
And they expect it to run itself. So how do you communicate to your clients in your new job that, you know, launching a full BuddyPress site with all the features is going to be a big time operation?
Right. That's a good question. And we're TenUp is pretty lucky right now that the majority of clients that and leads that come in, and I'm sure Jake can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's probably pretty rare that someone specifically says, I need a BuddyPress powered site. I think it's more likely that someone knows they want to use WordPress and then wants some of the community features that they've seen from like other existing sites, or like Yammer, or they've seen forums, or they know they want a support forum set up or something like that. Where now, like we're able to say we have like viable solutions to solve those problems, or at least provide a head start. So. So I don't know that there are a whole lot of people that come in the door looking specifically for BuddyPress. I just think we're able to use BuddyPress and BBPress and any other plugin, right, that's available. If someone says they want a shopping cart, there are solutions for that too. So
mm-hmm.
So I think that we pretty much just use BuddyPress as a tool to solve that problem.
Okay, cool. Recently, with the short release cycles that you guys have had with BuddyPress, you guys have seen a lot of success as far as, you know, getting it out there quickly and not an overwhelming number of bugs and problems with it. Are you going to continue with this short release cycle pattern in the future?
Yeah, definitely. We've even talked about. So we're doing it 2 weeks longer with this release to see if it helps us, because we ended up cutting some features, like the rewrite rules was something that just wasn't enough time to get into 1.8 that we were hoping to get in, so spending more time with it in 1.9. But so we gave ourselves an extra 2 weeks to see if there's any bugs that come in or anything lurking, but definitely going with short release cycles. With my hope that we can get them consistently at the 3-month mark, and I really like what the WordPress core team is starting to do by sort of juggling the planning and some development of multiple releases at the same time. And I would love for us to get to that point. I've started scoping on the BuddyPress and BBPress tracks, having like multiple milestones ahead. So I've been doing that for probably about a year or so worth of making sure that like tickets didn't sit in a waiting review for too long, and that mm-hmm. we could put, you know, some of these questions and tickets and problems in a real milestone, so we knew approximately when we were going to be able to address a lot of those issues and things that were coming in. So I think the short release cycles will stick. And the one thing that's really awesome about them, is that activity breeds activity. People see that the project is ramping up and constantly has activity and contributions going into it. And as a result, we have more activity in the forums, we have more downloads, we have more patches, more contributions, more tickets than I think we've had ever. So the short release cycles also let people know that project is alive, people are working on it, and that it's something that they can use on their sites and invest their time into. So it's worked, in my opinion. It's been really good. And it's awesome. I mean, the planning of it and and setting the dates for everything and scoping everything out for the last release for 1.8 was mostly Boom Gurgis. That was almost all his doing. So kudos really to Boone for 1.8 and sort of setting the pace.
Yeah, he's a regular rock star. I don't know where he finds the time.
If you ask him, I think he's just a genius, right? So he's able to just sit down and rock it. I mean, he's a brilliant kid, so he just rocks it no matter what. It's awesome.
So where do you see Buddy Press going in the next couple of years or so? When you look out into the future a little ways, what would you hope for the project?
I've actually spent some time thinking about this, and I realized that during my time at Automatic that I think I sort of forgot. I guess I didn't really forget, but it changed and. And I'm remembering what my motivation was for really enjoying Buddy Press and using it and developing with it is I think that ultimately what Buddy Press should be doing is filling the gaps for things that WordPress is not designed or built to do, things like notifications. Things like messaging another author or a user on your site directly, things like setting up profiles for your authors. I think Buddy Press is really best suited to complement a WordPress installation. And for a while, we've been building and improving a lot of the core underpinnings and some performance things with Buddy Press without we haven't really built any brand new, huge, whopping features in years. The forums via BB Press is probably the last feature that's gotten any real attention. Activity streams a little bit, but otherwise the feature set has stayed the same. We've talked a little bit about improving notifications, and we always talk about media all the time and how we would handle that, but otherwise, we haven't. There's not really a whole lot of new feature stuff that goes on, and I think that that's okay. Hello.
Know what that means? Know what that sound means?
It means somebody's at the door.
No, it means it's a lightning round. We're getting close to the end of the show here, but we do have a couple more questions, a couple of listener questions. So I figure maybe we can pound these out real fast, and you can give us some quick answers. Are you ready?
Sure. Yeah. Do it.
Okay, the first one is, do you know of any plans on upcoming Buddy Camps or events that would focus entirely on the BBs, both BB Press and Buddy Press, similar to the one in Vancouver?
I don't, but I would love for there to be one. And
how about one in your backyard?
We can definitely do that. It's fenced in,
yes.
Private. So I've been thinking about doing or trying to do just a small BB Press camp. Because there's never been a BB Press specific event. I met with some people at South by Southwest last year, so we had about 5 or 6 people and sat down, and certain contributor days we might have a Buddy Press or BB Press corner somewhere. But I don't know. I'd like to have something, because it's convenient for me. I would probably want to do it somewhere in the Midwest or in Milwaukee, where it's a central location in the country for people to fly to if they wanted to, and see who was interested in something specific to BB Press. But
We could combine Buddy Press and BB Press into one camp?
Into one BB camp?
Yeah.
I think we could. So, to this day, Boone doesn't let me forget that when the first Buddy Camp in Vancouver was sort of in the planning phases, I kind of hoped that it would be a plug-in camp instead. It's cool that people are so passionate about Buddy Press, but I was like, well, it doesn't have to be all about us. There are so many other great plugins out there that we can include as a plugin camp. But they've gone really well. I've accidentally attended every single Buddy Camp that there's been so far. So they've all been really awesome. So yeah, I think lumping them together is fine. But it would be pretty sweet if there are enough, if there's enough involvement to actually have two separate camps for both of them. But
yeah, I'd love to attend a BB Press camp just to be surrounded by people that love forums, discussions, the future of forums, comments, merging the two.
Right.
Yeah, you can see I'd love to go to a BB Press camp. Why? Okay, next question. Why isn't there Buddy Press swag for sale in the WordPress swag store?
We're working on that. We are in the process of getting some shirts. We've got some designs. We've got some stuff happening. I imagine that that will be happening in the future at some point. There's really no reason why, but there will be some eventually.
That's awesome.
Question for me. Have you thought about, when it comes to BB Press or Buddy Press, maybe BB Press more than Buddy Press? Everybody have a drink when I say BB. So have you thought about renaming Project Lead to Queen Bee?
Queen
So instead of being
Bee.
A Project Lead, you could be Queen Bee.
Queen Bee.
I don't know how that how well that would work out. But
I have some bee puns in the BB Press code. So
if
anybody gets curious and starts looking through the actual code itself, there's some puns in some of my inline documentation.
If you hack core, you will be stung. something like that.
Or it will definitely sting. Yeah.
Okay. Slavik in the blog post we published earlier this week asking for questions, he wants to know, is it possible for the community to be involved via a poll to help decide the priority of new features that are worked on for the next release? And he cites that the BuddyPress Codec survey was a good example of this.
Sure. I mean, we used to do it that way. Andy used to put up a poll for every release to talk about to try and drive some of the feature development, really just as a way to get community members involved. And then once most of those things were built out, I mean, if memory serves, the only thing that's really left is media. Media is really the only thing that was ever on those surveys that we just have never... Media and privacy are the two. And there's some other little minor features that we could do, but sure, somebody should put a poll together if they... or we could have Mercy Me put a poll together and put it up on buddypress.org. I mean, I think any data like that is good to have. So, yeah.
Okay. Two more for you. One, this one's from Norcross. He wants to know, what sort of things/tools, et cetera, do you feel are missing from WordPress?
Oh, boy.
Can you answer that question quickly?
I'll answer it in a way that's actually relevant. I know that that Johan is... working a lot on the actual dashboard of WP Admin when you're looking at the actual WordPress dashboard. In terms of user-centric tools, that's the place where I think notifications belong, where pending drafts belong, where like sort of the heads-up car dashboard, check engine light, gas light type of things belong. That alone would be... I think would be helpful for the end user on the development side of it. I think like Ryan McHugh is working on, REST API is huge. Fixing taxonomies is huge. Finishing custom post statuses would help my life immensely. Other than that...
Wait, did you just say fixing custom post statuses?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. At least I'm not the only one out there.
But I'm sure there's a bunch of stuff that I'm missing that if you ask me on a different day, I'd probably give you a different answer.
And the last question, which Sarah has sort of addressed here in the chat room already, we had a question from MG or MGibbs189. He wanted to know, is there any collaboration between the BuddyPress team and the Drupal Commons team? And I looked up Drupal Commons here, and it looks like a similar solution. It looks like a BuddyPress, but for Drupal.
It was a few years ago, or I think when Drupal Commons first came out, I signed up for it and played around with it. But no, there hasn't been. There's no reason why not, but there really hasn't been. I don't know. I guess I sort of believe that like more collaboration is better. But
well, Sarah, you publish a link here. You say it's two very different projects, right?
Jeez. Sorry, I was on mute. Sorry.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, I've installed Drupal Commons before and played with it, and I tried to actually run a social network on it one time. But you know, the learning curve is kind of steep for the users because it's not for. I didn't find it to be really intuitive. But, you know, it's supported professionally by developers who are paid full-time to make it awesome. So, you know, it's not like BuddyPress where it's a community of people submitting, you know, contributions and patches and stuff. So, I mean, the workflow is entirely different.
Okay, so Triple J, I think we pretty much reached the end of the show, and I know it's the end of the show because my partner in crime was scratching on the door. Thank God. And aww. I haven't heard your dog bark yet, which was supposed to be my cue to end the show. But I just want to thank you very much for spending some of your time, your Friday evening here with us on the show. And we had a ton of questions here in the show notes that we just didn't have time to go over with, that I wanted to go into a deeper conversation with you about forums and conversations and comments and what that all means. But guess what? That means you'll have to be on the show again in the near future to talk about all this stuff with us.
That'd be awesome. I would love to. This was fun.
Yeah, so tell us where we can find you at on Twitter. And
For anybody that's listening, we should be friends on the Twitters.
We should follow you.
Yeah, you can do that. You just find me at JJJ. If you'd like to see pictures of my dog, you can follow my blog. Is jaco.by. And if you're really legitimately trying to follow me on the internet, jjj.me is where like all of the things go. So I'd love to chat more on the internet.
Awesome. That means you've accepted our invitation to come back again sooner rather than later. Triple J, thanks a lot for being on the show, and have a great rest of the weekend.
Jeff, Sarah, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
So that's going to do it for this week's episode. Next week I will be, I'm actually on vacation. Believe it or not, I do have vacations here running the tavern. But the hiring of Sarah couldn't have come at a better time, so the tavern will be in good hands. Rest assured that I will be celebrating a one-year wedding anniversary, so I'm stoked about that. As far as next week's episode goes, it's looking like we're going to take a break from the show. There's not going to be anything published next week. And then the week after, I have no guests scheduled, but that will change the moment I get back from vacation. If you want to mark this down on your calendars, on October 11th, we will be having Scott Birkin, who is the author of the book The Year Without Pants, on the show to talk about his experience at working for Automattic for 2 years, and I'm really stoked about that show, especially after reading his book about his experience. That's going to be a great show. With all that said, you can find the show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on wptavern.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, which is JEFFR0, and you can follow Sarah on Twitter at
Ollie Plummer.
There you go. That's your cue. You're learning. Okay, until next week, everybody, have a safe weekend, everyone.